Lord, will those who are saved be few? This is a curious question Jesus asked, but it also sounds like an interesting question, one that we are anxious to hear the answer to. It's a question, is it a question that you've wondered about or asked at one time? Are a lot of people going to heaven? What about the native tribes in South America who haven't heard about Jesus? What about babies who die before they're born? This is a curious question indeed. Jesus probably doesn't give the answer that this inquirer is looking for, but he does give the perfect answer. Notice that this person's question is about other people's salvation. Will those who are saved be few? But rather than answering about those or the salvation of others, Jesus would instead have this man, the crowd, and each one of us consider our own personal salvation. So let us hear the words of Jesus and apply them to our lives as we hear about the narrow door to heaven. We will see how Jesus is the only way, that being familiar with him is not enough, and as we do, we will want to strive to enter through that narrow door. May God and the Holy Spirit help us fight the good fight of faith. Our text comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first and there are first who will be last. Entrance through the narrow door is only through faith in Jesus. Everyone wants to go to heaven. I don't think I've ever heard of someone that say that they don't want to go to heaven when they die. Certainly there are many doubters out there, and they say there is no heaven or hell. But if there is, I most definitely want to be in heaven. But how does one get there? Some speak of getting into heaven, and they speak of the entrance of heaven as being a wide open door, open to just about anyone. We're told that as long as you have faith in something and you try to live a good life, you'll be in heaven when you die. Even among some churches that bear the name of Christ, we are told that the various religions of the world are but different paths to God, and Jesus is just one of those avenues. But what does Jesus say? As we hear Jesus talking about salvation or the door to heaven, what does he say about entering heaven? Let's look at verse 24 again. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The door to heaven is not some wide path of many faiths, or a giant gateway of good intentions. No, Jesus refers to it as a narrow door of salvation. The door to the kingdom of God is narrow because entrance is found only through faith in Jesus Christ. He says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says he is the only way to the Father and eternal life. It's a pretty narrow door to heaven. In fact, Jesus says that he himself is the door. Coming from John 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is the door to salvation and the way to eternal life. The door to heaven is so narrow because Jesus has cleared the way for sinful man. Only Jesus has cleared that way. No man, even with the best intentions, can undo sin. Isaiah writes, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Whether it was a sin of dishonoring your parents by talking back to them, or the sin of telling a lie or spreading rumors about someone, or the sin of using God's name in vain, or some other sins that we view as much worse acts, sins of murder or rape. All sins, any sins, they have separated us from God. We could not get to heaven on our own because we have fallen short of God's glory. Now, since we could not reach heaven, Jesus reached down from heaven to us. He came to take our iniquities, our rebellion, our lovelessness, our selfishness, our lust. He took all of our sins on himself and suffered the consequences for all sin. On the cross on Calvary, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus took our sin on himself and removed it forever. We have peace with God. By Jesus' wounds, our relationship with the Most Holy God is healed. So you see, Jesus is the only answer to the problem of our sin, which separated us from God. None of the other religions of the world have an answer for this, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the blood of God's one and only Son was valuable enough to God to purchase our salvation. So it is through Jesus we are saved and we have salvation, and it is Jesus who is the narrow door to heaven. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But remember now, familiarity with Jesus is not enough. Back to this question, will those who are saved be few? In answering this curious question, Jesus gives an answer that's not popular in our politically correct society. His answer being, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Many are trying to get to heaven, but they're trying to do it in their way, not Jesus' way. The worst part is that many of them know about Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus, especially not as their Savior from sin. We read in verse 26, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. There were many who with their own ears had heard Jesus teach. Some had even dined with Jesus. And though they were familiar with Jesus, they did not necessarily believe in Jesus. With many thought they had already passed through the door to heaven simply because they were born as the physical descendants of Abraham. To those who knew about him but refused to believe in him, Jesus will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Simply being familiar with the name of Jesus or the facts of his life, that he was born of Mary or that he died on the cross, that's not saving faith. Those things can be simple knowledge that somebody was told or read. Imagine going up to God and saying, well, I heard about you in Sunday school, or I heard about you in confirmation class, or the church I grew up in talked about you. You think you have passed through the narrow door of heaven just by knowing those things or hearing about him? For the writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is different than just being familiar with the facts about Jesus. Faith is a living trust in a living Savior, given to us by a gracious God. Such faith may be weak at times, but that God-given faith looks to Jesus alone for salvation. By faith, we believe that Jesus, we believe what Jesus did, and that he did it for me personally. Think about these as I go through these comparisons. Because I was unrighteous, he lived a holy life to be my righteousness. He died a wretched death because my sins deserved it. But he rose from the dead to assure me that my sins are forgiven and all is now right between me and God. Faith is much more than being familiar with the facts about Jesus. It's a living trust in him as our Savior. So this narrow door, we should strive to enter it. But we aren't there yet, are we? We're not enjoying that heavenly feast with the Lamb. Not yet. Right now, we are living in times of temptation. Right now, we struggle against the deception of the world and the laziness of our sinful flesh. Right now, there are voices and individuals who are trying to lead us away from that narrow door and join them on the broad road to destruction. Because of that, Jesus exhorts each one of us, strive to enter through the narrow door. The word for striving is a word used by the Greeks in athletic competitions. It can mean to contend for a prize. Think of the Olympic athlete. We just finished our Olympics here. Sure. His goal and focus is one thing, winning the prize. Every waking moment, every decision made is based on how it will affect his ability to win the prize. Now we should have that mentality. As we strive to enter through that narrow door, every waking moment, every decision made, that affects our ability to win the prize, to enter through that narrow door. Listen to the Apostle Paul's focus from Philippians. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That great missionary of Christ, the great writer of the New Testament epistles, was striving to enter through the narrow door of heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. So how does one strive to enter through the narrow door? Well, what you are doing right now is very important. When you hear and learn God's word, the Holy Spirit is at work through the message. The word of the Holy Spirit strengthens our new man of faith as we hear about God's promises for us, his children. As we regularly receive the body and blood of our Savior in the Lord's Supper, our faith is nourished and strengthened by our Savior. Striving to enter through the narrow door, we examine our lives and our choices in light of God's word to see if they are in agreement with God's will for us. If it's not, then we repent, confessing our sins and looking to Jesus for forgiveness. Even so, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In a few weeks, many of our congregations will begin their fall Bible classes and their Sunday school. This is another opportunity to strive forward in the faith by hearing and learning God's word. Make use of these opportunities God gives you. Jesus, your Savior, promises you, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do not take your faith and your trust in Jesus for granted. Instead, constantly strive to enter through the narrow door. So back to this question one more time. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Jesus does say in our text that many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south at the heavenly feast. But rather than focusing on them, Jesus would instead have you focus on your own salvation. Jesus is the narrow door, the only door to heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has brought you to faith in Jesus as your Savior from sin and the only hope for eternal life. Therefore, heed the voice of your Savior Jesus and strive to enter heaven through faith in him alone. Thanks be to Jesus, who himself is our door to eternal life. Alleluia. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts in mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.